Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
I want to welcome you to this very special edition of the Undivided Podcast. My name is Chris Crane, and it is a pleasure to present to you a recent BMBA Ministers Conference with Dr. Danny Wood. And he, in this special edition, is going to talk about strategic succession. And you will get to hear a behind-the-scenes look at Dr. Wood's transition from being pastor for over 24 years at Shades Mountain Baptist Church to becoming pastor emeritus, and also the installation of George Wright, who is now pastor at Shades Mountain. I think this will be very relevant information for pastors at any season in their ministry, also business leaders and professionals who are looking at principles of succession. So join us now to hear Dr. Danny Wood as he talks about strategic succession.
It is a pleasure to be able to be with you. I have retired 11 weeks now, and this is my first time to get back in the saddle. So if I head in different directions, you just know it's because I'm old and I've retired. Okay? I hope that you've received a handout. So if all of you that are here and those that are watching us, just kind of follow along with us, and we'll try to make this as easy as can be. When Chris was asking me about coming to speak, there were a couple things he talked about. One of the things was the way we handled our succession plan at Shades Mountain Baptist Church. So quick overview is I've been pastor there for 24 and a half years, and we announced that we were going to begin a transition, begin to look for a new pastor. We announced it in January. We went 8 months till August 15th, and that was my last date to serve there. In June, I believe it was 27th, George Wright came in view of a call. We brought him on, and but he did not start till after I left. And I'll tell you a little bit about when we had him preach his first sermon and how things have gone since that time. But the reason I wanted to talk to you about, and the title of this is Strategic Succession, is that I think as pastors, we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our churches, and we owe it to the kingdom to be strategic when it comes that time that we need to step away and retire. And so this is applicable for whatever size church you are. This is applicable for wherever you are in life. And some of you guys are looking at me and you say, man, there's years before that will happen. You take these notes and put them in a file that says succession plan. Go on and make it. And then over the years, as you read things, just place it in that file, okay? And just keep that building. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about putting paper in a file. So digitally put it in your computer or whatever, and that way you will always have this. These are what I would believe is like universal truths. Okay? So let's just jump right in. And I wanted to start, and I don't have this passage on there, but Proverbs 21:5 says this: the plans of the diligent lead to profit. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. So the writer of Proverbs is saying, hey, planning is good, and the plans of the diligent. Now, if you're a person that's diligent, it means you don't just make plans, but you carry those out. There's one thing to have a great vision, to have all these wonderful ideas, but there's another to execute those plans. And so that's what we want to talk to you about today. Not just coming up with a plan, but then also following through and strategically being able to handle that. Now, there was a quote that John Maxwell made that resonated with me. And it says, achievement comes to someone when he is able to do great things for himself. Success comes when he empowers followers to do great things for him. But a legacy is created only when a person puts his organization into a position to do great things without him. And if you think about your ministry and your church, isn't that what you want? Your joy is not to step away from the church and just pray that it all falls apart and everybody says, well, wow, the pastor left and you were so wonderful and stuff. It's not about you. It's about the Lord, and it's his church, not your church. a guy by the name of William Vanderbloom and wrote a book, and we'll talk a little bit about it, called Next. And when you open it up, the very first sentence is your first blank to fill in. Every pastor is an interim pastor. Every pastor is an interim pastor. And that's true. You're not going to pastor all your life. You are an interim pastor. Now, for some of you, that interim may last for 3 years, some may 10 years, some for 20 years. But when there will come a time when you have to retire. You just need to understand that. And it's amazing. I read that about 5 years ago, and it really resonated with me. I said, okay, I've got to approach it this way. I'm going to lead my church faithfully, and then it's my turn to step away and someone else to come in. So if you want to do a strategic succession, there are personal preparation, and then there's church preparation. Now, before I got into following this journey myself, I always thought about the personal preparation. That's all the things that I heard. But God began to place on my heart that, Danny, it's just as important, not just for you to be prepared, but you need to prepare the church. And so we want to talk about both of those, okay? So here we go, personal preparation. What I'm getting ready to share with you, you can't find it chapter and verse in the Bible. It's more my experience, so you can take it or leave it. And my predecessor, Charles Carter, whenever he would share something he thought people would question, he'd always say, you go your way, I'll go his way. Okay, so let's just go with it. All right, personal preparation. Number one, financial planning. Financial planning. Whenever you're thinking about coming to a point of retiring, of stepping away as a pastor, financial planning. You need to look at your own finances and just be practical about it. I need to get to a financial point that I will be able to step away. Now, hopefully all of you are involved with Guidestone, and that's where our retirement is. If you will contact a Guidestone representative, they will walk with you through there. I have been so impressed with Guidestone, and I called about 5-6 years ago and just began to say, I'm looking down the road. Let's talk about what we need to do. So number two is this, begin to max out contributions to your retirement account. Begin to max out contributions to your retirement account. Now, no matter what your age is, you want to be involved with, let's just go and call it Guidestone, to set money aside. But as you get older, you get an opportunity to begin to put more money in there. In fact, there was something about a plus 50, to where if you got 50 years of age or older, they allow you to put more money in. There was a figure that they had to say you can do an additional investment into your account. And so you want to look at those and take advantage of anything that you can to place money into your Guidestone account. Some churches are set up where maybe in your compensation package, the church will put some money in. Maybe you put some in, church will put some in. I would look at my budget and to know that you can even do after-tax contributions. So after everything's done with what the church has done and what they do with your pay, you can take a look at your pay and say, you know what, I'm going to take a little extra money and I want to do some after-tax contribution. You can do that. Guidestone will work with you, and there's some forms to fill out. Okay? Take advantage of that. So number two is max out your contributions to retirement account. Number three, I wrote considerations for retirement. Okay, and this is perfect to share this on a Monday because every one of us usually wants to retire on a Monday. So it's perfect timing. How I got to this point was we called in a company by the name of Oxano, who was a consulting company. And we brought them in to sit down and talk to us. We as a church had completed a lot of the plans that we had, and we were just wanting to get a new look at how we can take that next step. So they worked with us for about 8-9 months, worked with our staff, came up with a new mission statement, came up with core values, measurables, a lot of great things. But one of the questions that the consultant asked is he looked at me and he says, Danny, do you have a succession plan? I kind of had one in my head, but nothing specific. And he says, you need to put that together. So the first thing he asked me to do is to put together a beyond the horizon, like a 10 years. What do you see happening 10 years down the road for the church? I put that together, but I didn't have a personal succession plan. So this caused me to begin to do some work on it. And I was trying to figure out, when would I think that I would want to retire? Now, today, I'm 68 years old. When I was 63 at this time. So when he was asking me the question. So as I began to think about retirement, when is the time to retire? These are some things that came into consideration. A is age. Age. That's the first thing. You look at age. We get older. And so you can, some people may say, I want to go at a certain age is when I want to step away. Deep in my bones, I had always said I didn't want to pastor past 70. I just felt that was that one for me. So that was sort of an end mark for me. But age is one thing that drives it. Two is this, relevance and effectiveness. Relevance and effectiveness. We just have to look in the mirror and say, am I still relevant and am I still effective? Culture changes, people changes, organizations change, and you just got to look in the mirror and say, am I still being relevant? Am I still being effective? You may talk to others and ask, is that happening? Number three is pace, P-A-C-A, the pace. As a pastor, we run at a pretty hard pace. And as we get older, our energy usually goes down a little bit. And you have to ask yourself the question, is this pace sustainable? And you may come to the point where you say, I don't think it is. That could be a key. D, mission complete. Mission complete. Is what God has called me to do as a pastor in maybe this particular church, is it complete? Have I done what I think God's called me to do? And E, change of passion. Change of passion. As we pastor, we get the opportunity to rub shoulders with different types of ministries. And as we see some of those ministries, sometimes our heart begins to move towards those. Maybe it's community missions. Maybe it's international missions. Maybe it's men's ministry. Maybe it is something with dealing with human trafficking or some other social justice that we, and compassionate justice ministry that we want to go to. And if your passion begins to change to where you say, you know, I've enjoyed being a pastor. I'm loving shepherding people. But I don't know, man, God's really pulling me into this area. And it may be time for me to step away from being a pastor, and maybe this is where God's wanting to put my energies over in this area. And the last is God's release. I call it God's release, and that is that God has released me. He's released me from the position of pastor, and it goes into those one of the five things above, and you say, okay, I think this is time. If I looked at those, and just my own personal story, I knew that I didn't want to pastor past 70. Relevance and effectiveness, I felt like I still was. In fact, I did a gut check with some of our staff. I said, just be honest with me. You know, I don't want to be the emperor with no clothes on. Let me know. And the people that were joining were younger people, so we felt pretty good about that. So I said, okay, I'm still relevant and effective. The pace. I've been running a long, hard pace. For me, about 35 solid years where nothing slowed down. And I remember sitting down with my wife and started recounting from the very first, when I pastored in First Baptist Church Ruston, then came the Shades. There was never a slowdown moment. And we just realized I just wanted to be able to sustain that pace. And so it was time to step away. Mission complete. I looked over everything that we had prayed about at Shades. We looked at our master plan. We looked at everything. I felt like I'd done what God called me to do. And then a change of passion, I didn't get that. But I did get God's release. And I'll tell you a little bit at the end how it was so clear that this was the time for me to step away. Okay? So those are just some considerations to keep in mind. So as you start looking down the road, these are some of the ways I believe that God begins to talk to you to say, this may be the time. Okay? So if personally, if you get to that point, to where you're thinking about retiring and stepping away, you need to put together a succession plan that works for you and it works for the church. So here's my next recommendation. Number four, bring along three men to walk with you. Bring along three men to walk with you. Now, some of you are going to say, ooh, three. Tell me about three on that. There's nothing magical about three. Just one's too few, four's too many. two, yeah, three's a good number. That's why I came up with three, is because I wanted to get three different opinions and three people that would walk along with me. He said, well, what kind of men do you get? Well, when they told me in 2016, you need to have a succession plan, I took a book, which you'll see listed next, and as I read through next, it did mention that you want some folks to come with you. So I prayed about it, and God gave me three names of men that I was going to contact to begin to talk about succession planning. You said, what are these men? What are the qualities? Let me give you those. Number one, they love you and they support you. You want people that they love you and support you. There are some people in the church that like you, but I want someone that loves me. There are some people that said, I think I got your back. I want the ones to know, because that means they love this church and they love me as an individual, which means they'll be open and they'll be honest with me, and they don't have any agendas. Number two is this: wisdom and discernment. I want men who've got wisdom, and I've got men who have discernment. It's like the sons of Issachar, so they can understand the times. C is trustworthy. Trustworthy. Because you're going to open your heart, and you're getting ready to open up some things towards the future that you need to trust them with that information. And that ties into number four, which is keep confidence. Keep confidence. You don't want to walk out of your first meeting and all of a sudden get tweeted out. Pastor's thinking of retiring. Just thought we'd pass it on to you. I mean, these are the guys that it's like I told them, when we have this talk about retirement, my wife knows and you three guys. That's it. So if anybody else comes up and says, hey, I heard the leak is there, and I know it's not from her, so it's one of you. So let's keep this confident. And the other thing is similar life stage or beyond. Similar life stage or beyond. And when I'm saying that, if you're in your 60s, you need to find someone who's also in their 60s or beyond. Somebody that's already retired, or someone that's sort of walking in that same area. And that's the age of the guys that I got. So when I'm 63, I had one, I think, that was 62. Another one, I think, was 62. And another one's probably about like 67. So, and when I start talking to these guys, every one of them said, well, you know, I'm thinking to some of those same issues, because I know that my time's going to come to retire. And they were in three different professions. So I think that helps. And even if you had someone that already retired, that's also someone that is good that you can talk to. So I contacted these men and asked them to start the journey together with me. And I tell you, I can still remember that first meeting, and we had it in my office. And when you share that, there's this look of shock on their face, because they, again, most people never think the pastor's going to retire, or if it is, it's not in their lifetime. And but then the more you begin to talk, they understood and they appreciated the fact that you're putting together a plan. Now, three practical suggestions that I would have for you once you have these men. Number one, buy the book Next. There's a second edition that just came out. William Vander Blumen, who is a search firm, wrote this book Next. And I would buy four copies, buy one for yourself, and I would buy a copy for each one of those guys. And that'd be your homework assignment. Ask them to read through the book. You read through the book. Every chapter has a checklist at the end and has some questions. And I went through that book and I went through every chapter and I wrote down answers to all the questions. And then we got back together and we reviewed that and we went chapter by chapter. And what were your thoughts? What do you think about this? What does that say to you? How does that relate to our church? And it gave us a starting point. That's what's so good about that book, because it's a whole book about succession. So we did that, we researched it together, okay? B, don't need a final timeline to start meeting together. You don't need a final timeline to start meeting together. Too many people think, you say, okay, once I get my timeline squared away and I feel like that this is when I'm going to retire, then I'll bring these guys in. No, you want them to help you formulate the plan. So you don't have to have a timeline. Now, you don't have a fixed date in order for you to start. What I did have, and I'll cover this a little bit later, is the only thing I told them is I will not be pastoring at age 70. So we know that August of 2023, I won't be here. So anytime in between that, and this is 2016 when I'm talking to them, that's 7 years. I said anywhere in between that, we can come up with our time frame. Okay, and last is this, work together to finalize a plan. Work together to finalize a plan. I did not come to them with a plan and a date. We researched it together, we discussed various ideas, and we did all of this for about a year. We worked together for a year, just talking through different plans. One of the best things that we did was that in August of 2017, there was a boot camp that Oxano offered on succession planning, and it was in Dallas, Texas. And the four of us flew to Dallas, and they met at a church that was going through a succession. And so their pastor and staff or the committee, they were up there doing Q&A, and there was a book that they handed to us, and it laid out about three different options of plans that you could go with. And after we spent time talking, naturally, I didn't go with those. No, I did a hybrid because there's not a cookie cutter that's perfect for every church. So I began to look at those, and I put together a hybrid plan that I thought was best for our church at that particular time. So we talked all about it, and we agreed that sounds like a pretty good plan. And then we rested. We didn't get back together for about another year and a half. And main thing is, we talked, we had a plan, but I didn't have a time frame. I just knew it wasn't going to be later than August of 2023. But these are the guys that helped me put that together, and they're the ones that walked with me through it. And it was so helpful. So as you start getting to that point, make sure you get those trusted people, and they will help you tremendously. For us, if I can just kind of take you in behind the curtain, is trying to figure out the time frame. We started a capital campaign to redo our worship center. And I knew that we were going to have to get through that before I stepped away. Well, COVID hit in about March of 2020. And every one of you knows that as we traveled through COVID, that we were told that church would never be the same. Everything was going to be a little different. You got more online opportunities. Things are just going to be different. So in the summer of 2020, as I started going off on a week of study that I'd always do in August, I really began to pray and think about that. And I said, okay, Danny, if we're getting ready to come out of the COVID season and hopefully things start getting back a little bit normal, by the time we get to January of 2021, the church is looking for me to sort of say, this is where we're going. Our staff, I've got to meet with them and have a vision for where we go from here. And if everything's going to be a little bit different, and I know I'm probably not going to be here for a couple of years, it doesn't make sense for me to be the guy to meet with our staff and say, this is where I think we need to go, because I ain't going to be here. Because when you set out a vision and a direction, it's going to be for the next maybe 3 or 4 years, but I knew I wasn't going to be here that long. So it was like God spoke to me, says, this is your time. I mean, you've completed what you're supposed to do. So it's time for you to step away, bring in a new guy, younger eyes, and let him begin to set that next vision. So that's when the time is. So what did I do? I called those three guys and I called them in, and I'll never forget. I sat down, I said, I got a date. And I'm going to announce it in January of 2021 and step away on August 15th. Well, now they were really upset because the planning was fun because they thought that it would be a lot longer. And they said, oh gosh, I didn't expect it to happen at this time. But as I explained it to them and we walked through it, they said, it all makes sense. It makes sense in the plan that we have will make sense. So that's how I prepared myself. And I think it's God led me to do that. So how do you prepare your church? And old school, old school is the, what would happen? The pastor would stand up in front of the church and say, God's spoken to my heart that it's time for us to move on to another place of service. And so we just want to let you know we accepted the call to so-and-so church, and in 2 weeks we'll be starting there. And then the church hurriedly puts together a pastor search committee, put together a celebration for your last Sunday that second week, sends you off with parting gifts, and you're gone. And now they've got a committee of 8 to 10 people who have no idea what they're doing, who are trying to learn what it is. They're calling Chris in a panic and say, can you help me through this? And so we put all this together, and the church is in limbo with leadership. They don't know who's in charge right now. And we're trying to work through this. Do we get an interim pastor? Do we have someone from our staff? What do we? And this has all hit us so quick. And I just not. I don't think that's the best way to go. And so that happens when you get called somewhere else. I fully understand that. But when it comes to a retirement, that's usually not a two-week deal to where you just say, hey, looks like we're getting ready to go. You need to give the church plenty of time and get your church prepared for that next pastor. The reason is you're an interim pastor. You're an interim pastor. And you're going to step away, and that next guy's coming in. So what you want to do is to put the church in the best position possible so that when that guy comes in, he can hit the ground running. So this is what I looked at for church preparation. Are you ready? Number one, talk to the church about succession years in advance. Talk to the church about succession years in advance. Let's just take my example. January of 2021, I announced to the church that I'd be stepping away in 8 months. If the first, that does not mean that in December, I mentioned to the church that we may have a succession plan coming up, or I may be stepping away at some time. No, I did it in 2018, 3 years before. And we did a capital campaign, we called it Next. And it worked out perfect because I said this was the next step that our church needed to take to grow spiritually and also prepare for the future. And also, by the way, for your next pastor. And then there was a hush over the crowd. And just in the sermon, I said, hey, you listen, in case any of y'all know, I'm older. Okay, I've gotten older. And one day I'm going to have to step away and there'll be a new pastor. And that reality needs to sink in. And I said, I'm not stepping away anytime soon, but I did want to let you know that I'm starting to do succession plan, which I think is the right thing to do in any organization, and just keep that in mind. So what you've done is you've already planted the seed, and you've talked about it, and so there's an expectation. Now, I don't want to be the one that throws you into a reality that you never believed, but as you get older, people are already talking about your replacement, okay? And okay, help me here. Has anybody read anything about someone saying who's going to replace Nick Saban? Yeah, why is it? He just turned 70. And now everyone's talking, oh, we love, he's great. So who do you think is going to replace Nick Saban? Well, it's the same thing for us as we get older. So it's just a reality, but you need to let people know we will have a plan that will be in place. And so by the time I announced it on 2021, it wasn't that great of a shock. The best comment that I got, and I got from so many people, was, we're sad to see you go, but we are happy for you. We're sad to see you go, but we're so happy for you, just because we set it up that way. Number two is this, prepare a culture of leadership development. Prepare a culture of leadership development. Any succession will cause stress on your staff and your congregation, so it's important to have strong leaders to keep the church on mission through the transition. So as you begin to move along in years, make an intentional effort to do leadership development, because when you do step away, you really need these lay leaders in your congregation who you trained to be good leaders for them to step up. And it will keep the church strong during your time of transition. Number three, give others an opportunity to preach. Give others an opportunity to preach. Now, if you're one of those guys, and I was kind of one of those guys, that you love to preach every Sunday and you're always in the pulpit, They're not used to anybody else. As you begin to move towards this succession, have other people from the staff or outside, give people opportunities to preach and get them accustomed to just hearing some other voices. And some of these voices could be those that will be preaching when you step away. You will have to make the decision. Do we want an interim pastor, someone else to come in to be our preacher, or do we just use the people that are here on our staff to do that? So that's your call, but I would already have some people preaching people feel comfortable with, and that just kind of lessens a little bit of the hurt when you step away. Then number four is this. Ask God, what are the things that need to be done that only I can do? What are the things that need to be done that only I can do? Now, I think this is the most important for you to prepare the church for the next guy. And so I did an acronym, since I'm a pastor, and I used it with STUFF, okay? It's the STUFF. So what is the STUFF I have to do to get the church prepared? Things that only I can do. Number one, staff. You need to move out your low-performing staff members or your complainers. If you've got some people that are weak links on your staff, do not hand it off to the next guy and say, well, I'll let them deal with it. You're going to deal with it. You make the tough call. Great thing is, you're not going to be there, okay? I don't want to hurt his feeling. Who cares? You're gone. but somebody has to. You don't need the next guy to. So especially if it's a long-term staff member, maybe needs to be transitioned to something else. Find something that he loves, whatever. Place him in some position. But you have to deal with staff situations so when the next guy gets there, you don't hand him and say, well, now I've got about three or four problems here. Try to clear those out. Number two, timeline parameters. Now, what I mean by timeline parameters is a no later than date. Timeline parameters. You're the only one that can do this. Now, hear me clearly. When I mentioned to you about succession planning and bringing those guys in, I said, you don't have to have your plan down, but I do think it's good to have an end date. I started saying drop dead date, but that's bad when you get our age. You have an end date to say, I think the latest I would ever be here would be fill in the blank. And you're the one that has that parameter. I made it pretty clear with the church when I shared with them 2018. I said, I just in my bones, I don't feel that at age 70 I need to be the pastor of this church. And so people clicked in their minds somewhere in 2023 or whatever, that would be our latest time. You're the only one that can do that. The you, unresolved issues. Unresolved issues. Do not leave unresolved issues with the new guy. There are some things that only you can do. We had a property situation that needed to be dealt with and made a point that we dealt with that before I left. My predecessor, Dr. Carter, had an office that we had in for years, but we needed that space to expand our hand-in-hand special needs ministry. So had to work with him, which worked out great. We got to see if we can get him relocated. How can we help you with your books, things like that. But new guy doesn't need to deal with the first pastor emeritus on moving that office. I need to deal with that. So you think about those unresolved issues that are in the church and going to take care of them, okay? Because you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can do that. F is facilities. What shape are your facilities in? Now, again, this is succession planning. This is not, oh, next month I'm going to announce my retirement. I'm saying start now. It may be 3, 4, 5 years before you retire. That gives you 3, 4, 5 years. Let's get these facilities in good shape. Let's take care of the facilities. When I came, we put together this is old school, long-range planning committee. You don't hear that anymore, do you? But that was back in 97. And put together this long-range planning committee, and we put together a master plan for our entire campus to completely transform our campus. And it took us almost 20 years, and we got it done. I mean, everything in that campus is either renovated or it's new. Everything was good, except the worship center. I built that worship center in 1989. It was coming up to be about 30 years of age. And if you all have seen the worship center we have, it's a beautiful worship center. But it's 30 years old. Anything that's 30 years old has to have some renovation work done to it. And the other thing is, it did not give us the flexibility to go to two service because it's so cavernous. So really our idea was to reduce the seats, change the footprint of it, add 30% of the lobby space, so then you could have a flexibility to go to multiple services. And every time somebody would come up to me and say, hey, what are we gonna do about the worship service? My famous answer was, next guy. We'll let him do that. I said, my deal's done. I've done 3 campaigns and I've lived to tell, and I think we're okay. We'll let next guy. Well, Holy Spirit started dealing with me around 2017, and he said, next guy can't do that name. You realize that for someone to come into a church the size of ours, it takes them 5 to 7 years to really gain trust of the congregation, believe it or not. And then if he goes into an emotional campaign such as a worship center, and you do a 3-year campaign, that's 10 years. Do you think this worship center can wait 10 years for that? And I said, nah. He says, you're the guy, not next guy. Take out next, put you, you're the guy. So I took that on. And I took that on not for a legacy of Danny Wood, but for the next guy. And we did that. And we went in there and we redid our worship center. And you talk about perfect timing. When COVID came, we had to go to 2 services. And because of the renovations and the footprint change that we made, it made it a very nice place to have 2 services. It would have been very difficult with the way we were set up before. So God had already run ahead, knew what was coming, but the goal was to take care of any facility problems so that the next guy does not have to. Does that make sense? And you can look around and see the things that you've got and go in and try to get those taken care of. You may not be able to get all of them, but get the major ones taken care of so that when this person comes in, he doesn't walk in and see a children's area that's down and depressed and got mold and problems, and then he is trying to build it to get new families here, but he can't because the children's space is so terrible. You take care of it. It's the thing that you can do. And then finances is the last. Finances. You want your church to be in the best financial position that it can be in. Don't go on some spending spree and just leave it for the new guy. My goal was for us to be debt free. And we were until we had to build the worship center. And we prayed, we worked hard, God blessed us. And at the end of this year, we will be debt free. And so you want to put your church in the best financial position possible. So if you're looking down the road and you say, hey, maybe 3 years before I do this, you sit down, look at your finances, look at where your debt is, look at where your expenses are, and say, what can we do over the next 3 years for us to be in the best financial position that we can be? That'll be your challenge. But you see, you're the one that can do that, all right? And so that's the stuff. Now, why do you do all that stuff? Because that last statement. The goal is to give the incoming pastor a blank whiteboard with which to pursue God's vision for the church with no impediments. And I preached that for 3 years. Our goal is when this new pastor comes in, he's got a whiteboard, nothing on there, no impediments, no facility problems, no debt problems, his finances are strong, the culture of the church is good, we don't have any staff members that are stabbing other people in the back or low performers. Everything set for him to be able to pray and ask God to give a vision for where that next step goes, and then he's able to move forward. And so that gave us what we called a transition of vision. We had put together a vision, beyond the horizon vision, to go to 2025. And when George Wright came to be the pastor, I told him, I said, you don't have to come up with some quick vision. We're rocking and rolling. We've got enough to do with this. I would just recommend keep running with this, tweak it as you see. You continue to pray, and when God gives you that next vision, then you run with it. You don't have to wait till this thing's over in 2025. I said, you come up with whatever you have, but you're not pressured. and you don't have any impediments. Everything else is taken care of. You just keep on moving forward. And so that's the way we've done it. And so far, it's worked out really well. And it has set the plate for that next pastor to come in. It's made our church rejoice. They've loved the way the succession and just the friendship that he and I have built and how we handed it off. And he can just be pastor and take his time, and we're moving in a healthy direction. So I hope that makes sense. It is being strategic, and I believe that we need to do that. After we've invested our life in ministry, we need to be strategic. Now, one last thing. We got 1 second, and I'll wrap up over here. I kidded people, and because of the way I laid out my plan is that I called it the Moses Joshua plan. And the way I set this plan up is that January we selected a search committee. We worked with a search firm, Vander Blumen's firm, but whether you did that or not, and they would select the pastor. Once they select the pastor, August 15th was going to be my last day. And the way we said it is that I preached my last sermon on August 15th. George Wright went on the payroll on August 16th, and he is he's our pastor. But he was not to preach for 4 Sundays. And we wanted the church to go through sort of a grief time before he actually came and preached. So what that entailed is he waited about 10 days, and then he started coming in, setting up his office, meeting with staff members, but he wasn't visible on Sunday. He was visiting other churches and being with his family. And my plan was that he would have at least 30 days to get his family settled in Birmingham, get his kids in school, not worry about sermons and all that stuff, just take that time. And he was so thankful because he'd been running hard too. So this gave them a great opportunity to do that. And then September, 4 weeks later, he preached. Now, you say, why do you call that the Moses Joshua? If you go to the last chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 7 and 8, it says Moses went up to the mountain and he died. After he died, the people wept for 30 days, and after 30 days, they got back on it. So I said, they wept for 30 days. I think we should do 30. Well, I did my calculation, kind of messed up a little bit as to when he would preach his first sermon. So it turned out to actually be 27 days, but I ain't Moses. So 27 is all they had to grieve for me. But what happened was on the 22nd, the 29th, and then I guess that's the 5th, we had our young guns preach, the guys from our church. And then whatever that next Sunday, I think it was 12th, is George preached. So it'd been 4 weeks. And they hadn't seen Danny, hadn't seen me on a video, hadn't seen me preaching live. And all of a sudden, now's our new pastor. And it gave him a little bit of time to grieve, to let the loss sink in, and then be excited for the next guy. And both from George's standpoint and from our members' standpoint, I've gotten a great response. They said, thank you for that. Now, when I came to Shades Mountain with Dr. Carter, it was a transition of where we worked together for 11 months, okay? And then at the end of 11 months, he handed me the baton and then he left the scene. What I discovered from what I went through was, as good as those 11 months were, from our people standpoint, is when he announces in September of 1996, I'm going to be retiring and we're putting together a search committee, there was this shock and awe. And then all of a sudden I got called in March, but then Carter was still there. I likened it to when someone says, I have stage 4 cancer and I don't have long to live. And there's that shock and there's that disappointment, but they're still there. And so you continue to love on them, enjoy every day you've got with them. And then when that day they die, then you grieve differently because now there's that separation. Well, what happened is when we went through that transition, there was the, like, hey, I got stage 4 cancer kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, when Dr. Carter steps away and goes and does interims, then the people fall into a time of grief. I'm kicking into my second year. I'm jacked up and I'm having a party. It's like, man, let's keep moving forward. I'm trying to lead people who are grieving.
because now it's sunk in that Dr. Carter really has left the building. And so I said, there has to be a grief process. So that's why I put in there that on August 15th, it is an Elvis left the building moment. And then you've got another 30 days, kind of get used to that, and then get excited about the new guy. And that's how we worked it. And if you see, that's what they did with Moses and Joshua. After 30 days, they got with Joshua. He says, okay, folks, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to consecrate ourselves, going to be praying. We're going to take a few days, and then we're going to cross over the Jordan River. Well, I liken that as after the grief process, George came. They said, this is it, guys, to start crossing over the Jordan River. And then next thing they had was what? Jericho. That's the next part of the vision. And so whenever God places in George's heart what that next step is, that'll be their Jericho, and they'll be ready for it. And so that's the way we planned it, and so far it's worked out pretty good. Okay? So I don't know if we have any time. We're done. If anybody wants a question or anything, can I tell you, if any of you talked to me years ago, I made a statement that was incorrect. That you may want to circle. Someone said, when should you retire? And I said, whenever your passion for something else is greater than what you're doing, then you should retire. That wasn't true for me. All those other points that I mentioned to you, there was a closure, and I knew it was time to step away because I don't really have a great burning passion for something else right now. And wiser men than myself said, you really need to detox. You need to take some time and detox because you don't remember. You don't have no idea how much pressure, stress you've been under with the schedules. And it's the same for all of us as pastors. I mean, we're 24/7 on call. So I'm taking a deep breath for 11 weeks, and it'll be for about a total of about 4 months, just sort of taking it easy. And I'm a graduate of Auburn University, and I made the pledge that I go to every Auburn game home and away. Amen. So. That's what I've been doing, and I've got tickets for all home, all the way, and I have been able to reunite with friends along the way, where usually when I would travel to an Auburn game, I'd travel on a Saturday, get there an hour or so for a kickoff run in, because I'm doing sermon in my head, watch a game, 4 minutes, 5 minutes left, I've got to run out, jump in a car, and try to beat the traffic and get home and with your sermon in your head. I'm sitting till the clock hits zero and loving life. So it's not so much that you have to have something to go to. Sometimes you maybe just need to take a little time, have spontaneity, relax, spend time with your wife. If God's blessed you with grandkids, spend time with them and just take a breath, and then God will bring these opportunities to come along the way. And one of those opportunities could be speaking at the Birmingham Baptist Association over here. Metropolitan Association. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I want to thank you for listening today. What a tremendous resource we have in this session on strategic planning from Dr. Danny Wood. Danny Wood, we thank you for your friendship. Perhaps we have someone listening today who needs more information about strategic planning. Feel free to reach out to us here at the BMBA. Thank you so much for listening today.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.